Talk Radio Network.
Falzoni, licensed mental health counselor. Aha, PhD. Yes, that's your fan club, Dr. Angel.
Oh, wow.
You have quite a few of those, you know.
Sounds
people
like
that
it.
Tune in to hear your wisdom here. And last week, we did a rerun because Dr. Angel was cruising across the Caribbean, or
yes,
whatever
I
you
want
to call it, for days on end, and she got a much-deserved vacation. So now tonight, we go back to part five and the last part of the series we've been in for the last few weeks, Common Mistakes People Make in Life. Evidently, it was not a mistake for you to get on a cruise ship and go for 8 days, right?
No, that was no mistake. No, very intentional.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time.
Did you rest?
I got a lot of rest and a lot of sun. And
all right. And you're working on your new book.
I'm almost finished with it.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited.
Exactly. I signed with a publisher this week. I haven't even had time to tell you about that.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Somebody totally different than the way I thought it was going to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So God opened those doors for my new book. So I'm excited about that. We'll talk about our books at another time. Tonight, we're doing part five of Common Mistakes People Make in Life. And tonight, we want to talk about this whole thing about people who just have to be right all the time. And I don't know anybody like that. Do you know anybody like that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
You do? You know somebody
maybe
like that?
Maybe one or two.
One or two. Isn't the world full of people who feel like they have to be right? And they cause misery for the people they live with, I think, in general. You can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're going to say they could. That could be true.
No, it does cause misery. You know, there's a saying, you know, you can either be right or happy. You know, because those don't usually go hand in hand.
All right. So often we find people in life, I mean, maybe not when we're real young, but as we get older, or perhaps we've grown up in a household with one or two parents that, boy, they had to be right and they would not listen to, they would not dialogue. There are parents like that, and we've kind of talked about that in our parenting stuff,
yes,
haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, but I think basically we become more aware of this as we join the workforce, as we get into relationships or get married or whatever the case may be, that there are people in our lives that just have to be right all the time, and somehow we seem to find those and end up in relationships with them. It's like a gravitational pull, Dr. Angel.
You know it is, it can be very frustrating because some people have to be right at all costs.
Right.
Regardless of all evidence proving contrary, like there's just this, I have to be right. And
if you
hard.
Confront them on that, they would say, no, they don't feel that way, right?
No, they would definitely not agree. But here's the thing, we're human. Nobody is going to ever be right all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it's difficult when you find yourself in a intimate relationship or a marriage or a work situation where you have to work closely with somebody like this, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so this whole series, Common Mistakes People Make in Life, it can be heard here on TanTalkNetwork.com. just go to the podcast tab, go down to the name of this show, which is Go Yard, and tune in to past series, because there were four others. This is number five, with last week being a rerun. So with this series, just in a nutshell, what have we been trying to talk about? You don't have to get actual points, but just what's the concept behind?
The concept is there are so many things in this in our lives that we do that cause pain and heartache and hardships for us. And there's things
even to ourselves and others.
We do it. Yeah, we set ourselves up for it. There's things that we're doing that's causing us to hurt and have pain. And we can avoid that.
Right.
If we just, you know, stay on the front of it and acknowledge that, oop, this could be a flag. It helps us to, you know, head off and not have to experience some of this heartache and pain.
And so often people like this, they have to be right all the time. They don't bend. They don't.
Correct.
They are not willing to talk much and really dialogue. And so one of the common mistakes, and this is the last one, this is part five of the series, and we'll start a new series next week, is that somehow we manage to find those kind of people. So I want to go back to that point, that a lot of us have found people in our lives who really make life difficult for us.
Oh, that's very true. And you're right. There's that having to be right goes hand in hand with being very rigid, very stiff, non-flexible. And those are very challenging characteristics to kind of have in our life because nothing works 100%. We have to be flexible. Life is flexible.
But I would also say this goes along with that whole concept of being controlling, right?
Yes.
And people, and I'm just, you can correct me, please do, because you're the resident expert. But I have found that when I am very closely involved with somebody who's very controlling, that, you know, you come to a point you realize you can't do it right. You can't please them, whatever it is. And they have a big hold on you, too. They're charismatic in a way. They're kind of charming in their own way, you know? They reel you in. That's what I'm looking
for.
Absolutely,
they do.
Like a fish when you're fishing.
And then you're on the hook, and then you're trapped. And
yes.
You do. You feel that way. And people who have to be right, not all of them are controlling, having to be right and control, but definitely people who are controlling have to be right.
Have to be
right.
If that
makes sense.
Yeah, it does, actually.
So, you know, and it boils down to our egos.
Okay.
You know,
what is our ego? Define that. I mean, what are people made up of? A lot of people know the word ego, and I think a lot of people don't have any idea what that really means.
Well, ego is a Latin word for I.
For I.
So it's basically our self-worth. That's where we find our self-importance, our self-worth is built into our ego.
Okay.
So people who have to be right all the time have very fragile egos.
Now, I thought you were going to say have very strong egos.
No, they're very fragile ones.
I know. I'm making a point so that we can make the point to people. Because so often we think of a strong ego, somebody who's like this has to be right all the time, having very strong opinions and whatever. And they do, but there's an element of they are fragile.
They are, because their worth is based on them being right.
Right.
And our worth is so much more than our being right in an issue or being right on this. Like, our worth is so much deeper than that. But theirs isn't.
Right.
Which is why they're very headstrong. They come across as a force.
Yeah.
Like, these people are, they come across so strong, you don't think of them as fragile.
Right. Right. And they come across as having it all together.
Oh, yes.
And really knowing what they want out of life. And this is the way to do it. I've tried other ways, but this is the way. But you're saying, and I want our audience to hear this point, that people with very, very strong egos like that are usually broken, fragile, can't take no for an answer, or can't feel like their opinion is not going to be done, you know, that their way is not gonna, it's not gonna happen their way.
Right. And I have no value if I'm not correct.
Right.
And that's how they're feeling. So that's why they're fighting so hard to be right.
Right.
Because that's where they're, that holds their value.
So let's say when they're in a marriage situation, okay, and some concept comes up or some topic, how are we going to handle the situation with our child or whatever? And that this person that has to be right all the time, it's his way or her way or the highway, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not necessarily always men. It's not. Because
no,
it can be
not.
Women, too, very much so. But it's like it's their way or the highway, right?
And when we get stuck in that mentality, it's a thief because we can't grow.
Ah.
We can't take in new ideas. We don't have that mental flexibility. So we have stunted our growth right there.
Right.
As people.
So we really are paralyzed in a way.
Very much we're paralyzed. And what we're doing when we're always having to be right is we're kind of pushing off those people in our life that we love and we value because they don't want to be around or close to people like this. It's not good. It's not fun.
It's not fun. No, because it's always a battle. You know, it's always a struggle. Everything's a battle. I've been in relationships with people like that. And everything,
I was married to one.
Okay. And everything becomes fist to fist. I mean, we just can't seem to agree on things, right, with people like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And there's just no way around
okay,
it.
Okay, so let's take your personal experience.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So how do you handle somebody that's always right? How do you grow closer? How do you fall deeper in love? How do you parent your children? How do you have common goals for your life?
Well, and working with that person who always has to be right is you're not growing. Just as they're stunted, that relationship is not going to be able to really grow forward while somebody is stuck in that thinking.
Right.
And so it's really about helping that person see how that thinking is hurting and hoping that they value their relationships enough to try and learn to grow through it.
Okay, so you're a therapist, so you've had to have people like this in your office before where they're sitting there and they're going, you know, he says, I can't do anything right. Everything, it's got to be her way, whatever. And so knowing you, you probably try to teach them how to dialogue better.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you do that? What would you say?
Well, one of the ways that I like to try and at least help that person see how they're being right all the time is impacting those around them is using that when you say this, I feel this.
Oh, that whole concept.
I
love
this.
That concept because it works, doesn't it? I mean, when we deal with that, when you say this, I feel this, right?
Or I'm hearing this. Sometimes, you know, their being right is sending another message to the other person.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, my opinions don't count. I hear you telling me what I think isn't important. Or
right.
I hear you telling me my opinion doesn't count. Or you don't think I'm a good parent. Or whatever you're... Because that's the message we actually are receiving when we're hearing that person being right all the time. It kind of discounts who we are.
Well, of course it does. It says your opinion doesn't matter. Your value is not there.
Right. And so helping... I mean, because... That person who does this has to see that this is not helping them, and they have to be the ones who want to change it. We can't change it for anyone else.
So they have to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But how often does that happen when you have a person who has grown up, maybe has been the star of the family and was always the one that the baby of the family or you know, everybody always catered to this child, whatever, and as they grow up, they continue in that role. To always be the star, right?
And helping them build that self-esteem, because that's really the bottom line of
being
right.
So you're saying that they really are fragile, and they really have a poor self-esteem if they always have to be right. That is a huge point right there.
And so, you know, I like to go root plucking. You know how I do. You know, if we
root plucking, yeah.
If we just cut the grass, it's going to come back. You know,
right.
We got to get down and get those roots. And the root of that is value, self-value, and it not being there, and helping that person find their value in all kinds of ways, and not just in being right. Because when I feel valuable, then I can share being right because it doesn't make me less than if you're right. But they learn that in that process of building up who I am.
So somehow they've gotten messages through their life. The person that always has to be right has gotten a message that they have power when they are right, when they can push their idea onto someone else, when they can control the family dynamic, when they can control at work, and it's their way at work or whatever, and they feel good about themselves when they can be that way.
Well, they feel valuable.
They feel valuable.
Right.
Okay.
And as people, that's a pretty primal need to feel worth and value.
But it does bring me back to codependency because the person who stays with a person like that, knowing that that's the dynamic in the relationship,
I'm going to give you the it can be, because it's not always that. So what I see happens is usually the one person who has to be right is usually matched up with someone who's maybe more quiet,
right,
and reserved, right, someone who's not going to challenge, yeah, or fight, exactly, or take that stand.
Right.
So they just kind of internalize it. The second person's just kind of knows how it's going to go and just lets it blow off their shoulder, so to speak.
Yeah, but it never does.
But it's not really. It's cutting deep inside.
It's cutting deep because if you are constantly made to feel that your value, your opinion does not matter in this marriage or this work
whatever
dynamic, mm-hmm, or whatever the thing may be, then it will take its toll and you will have roots of anger and bitterness
and resentment,
whether or not you want to admit that or not.
You know, and this is one of those dynamics where you just see all of a sudden people are like married for 25 years and like the husband just walks away one day and everybody's like, what happened?
They've always seemed so happy.
Right.
Yeah.
This is that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is that internalized person just hits their top and they just walk.
They're gone.
They don't look back.
Yeah, they're gone. Or the kids are, the last one went to college and this is when they bolt.
Yeah, they have this, you know, time frame of when the kids leave and now I'm done. Instead of staying there, or instead of even just, let's take this into the counseling room, if they would have started in the beginning and giving that other person an opportunity to see how this is hurting them before it became this
and
monster.
I've got to think that usually if a situation's gone on that many years, 15, 20, 25, it's very hard to break those habits.
Oh, the longer a habit goes, the harder it is to break. Sure,
right?
It's not impossible, but that other person's going
to
have to work
they gotta
really
want
hard.
To. They got to
yeah.
want to do that. So what you're saying here, okay, let's talk about the person who always has to be right, and what's the core of that? It has to do with their validation, right?
Right, all about
and
their
I want
self-esteem.
You to define self-esteem validation for our audience. Maybe some people say these are weird terms. So,
it's just all about our value and our worth.
Okay.
And that's really the bottom line of self-esteem.
So when you want to be when you have somebody in your life that constantly has to be validated, what are we saying that person needs?
They need to improve their self-worth. They need to find their self-worth.
So, but they do that so often the wrong way, mm-hmm, by saying it's my way or else,
mm-hmm,
right?
And what they need to hear is how what they're doing is affecting you and impacting you. And sometimes they may only be able to hear that in the in the context of a counseling room.
And so this series is common mistakes people make in life. And I guess this final one, the fifth series in the series, is that we so often put up with people like this in our lives, hoping they're going to change.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Or, you know, if we just ignore it.
If we're just sweet enough.
Yes. Or if I just work harder or do this better. And what they don't realize is it's an invisible line. It's always changing. The bar's always going somewhere different. There is no measuring up or getting it to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because to do so, the other person would feel challenges their worth, and they can't have that.
Right. They can't have any challenge
and so
to that.
The bottom line is, if you're in this kind of relationship, it's one that we need to start talking about the problem now.
Right.
And getting help for it.
Right.
And if I'm that person that always has to be right, what am I missing?
Right.
And
right.
I need to find that out, because I'm going to push everybody out of my life.
And they're going to leave your life. I'm not talking about you, because you're not this way. But I mean, this person, whoever this is, that always has to be right and is fragile and whatever, they're going to feel like everybody else abandons them and that they haven't really done anything to cause this, right? A lot of times they're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very self-righteous.
Mm-hmm. Because there again, I have that fragile ego. So if I think I did something wrong, then that's going to hurt my value, right?
Right. So I can't admit that, right?
So I could not have possibly been the problem.
Right. And so they always turn everything on,
mm-hmm,
everybody else.
They do.
They
turn it on the other person. And that's why it's so important for that other person to be there and be part of their journey of healing. Because in that context, we can start seeing how what we're doing is impacting each other.
Right. So it does take some intense therapy, really, to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that you're involved with somebody. Golly, it's almost 6:30.
Yeah, show's flying by.
I know. Let's say you're involved with somebody who is this person that always has to be right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they will not work on it. They refuse to do anything about it. We have to take care of ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely, we have to take care of ourselves.
And there comes a point, like the one you just described, that where it's like, okay, if you're not going to work with me on this, if you're not going to I can't do this, right?
No, we can't constantly be around someone who's pushing us down so that they can lift themselves up. Like, mm-hmm. that's not healthy.
And really, all that is their basic insecurities.
Of not feeling value.
They don't feel value. They feel inferior, so they have to find a way to feel that way, feel good about themselves.
When we're talking about that value, their egos are tied into getting likes on social media. Their egos are tied into what other people are thinking about them constantly, that right. validation, yeah. that, you know, good job, you know, kind of thing. They need it constantly, that positive feedback.
Right.
You know, they're the kind of person that you live with, and if they took out the garbage, which was the only thing they contributed to the house, they want you to acknowledge that they did something for you,
yes,
you know? And
yes.
you're like, what do you mean? I've been doing this for years.
Right.
But that's frustrating, right?
Right.
So that's all back to that fragile mm-hmm. ego.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they really don't want to hear other people's viewpoints, do they? Mm-hmm. People like this. It's really hard for them to be confronted. It's been my experience.
Well, because it challenges that value. And if you think of it that way, I mean, because it's so hard to see it that way when you're in it, because you see this person that comes across so strong and such forceful and, you know, maybe successful. How are they fragile? You know, we
right.
don't see them that way.
But
inside.
They are.
But inside, they are.
Oh, wow. We are going to delve more into this in the next few minutes. But if you want to call in, if you'd like to comment, you can text to my phone right here, 727-888-4171. Let me give that to you again if you want to text, 727-888-4171. Or Pete is in there in the control room, and he will answer the phone if you want to call in and ask a question or
yeah,
get involved.
Definitely trying to answer some questions, but I'm kind of curious what the song is you guys want to play today.
Oh, yeah.
It's Halloween, though. You guys want to play a Halloween song?
Oh, no.
We were going to do Three Little Birds.
Three Little Birds, not like Three Little Pigs.
Three Little Birds.
All right, let me see if I can find that.
See if you can find that. And we're going to be talking about entitlement in a moment.
Yes, we will.
And what that means. And, you know, that's a big part of what's wrong with a lot of people, don't you feel like?
I agree. Entitlement's definitely growing.
You want to define it before we,
sure.
while he's finding the song?
So entitlement is the fact of having, that you believe you have a right to things, that you have a belief that you deserve the special privilege or the special treatment.
Okay. So you deserve it.
You believe you have a
yeah.
right.
It's okay that you're always right because that's your right to be always right. Woo! Listen to this song. We'll be right back.
Singing, don't worry about a thing. Oh, 'cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Yeah.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dr. Angel, we are finishing our series on common mistakes people make in life, and tonight we're talking about the people in our lives that always have to be right. And we're talking about entitlement. If you'd like to call in, here's the number, and Pete will answer and push you right through in here into the studio, 727-441-3000 if you have a comment or a question. Dr. Angel, we live in a world now, it seems, that so many kids are growing up in homes where they are made to feel entitled to be always right. Or, oh, does Johnny, how do you want to do this? What movie do you want to see? All right, we're going to go to that one because that's what, you know. And kids are being taught that their opinion is the one that rules in the home.
That, you know, they really are. And that
you see this working with kids.
Oh, my goodness, I see this all the time. And I think it started stemming from the we can't tell our kids no
right, yes,
kind of thought
yes.
because we don't want to hurt their self-concept.
Let's not
right?
hurt their feelings.
But the reality of it is we hear no all the time as adults.
Right.
And we have to learn how to handle that and cope with it. It's life, called life.
Right.
You know, and so many parents, you know, they let the sun, moon, and stars rise and fall based on their children. Everything is the children become the center, and then they learn that life, I'm the center of everything, and they think the whole world is going to treat them that way, and that should be given to them because I breathe and I'm wonderful and I exist.
Right. Or I'm cute.
Or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. But that entitlement, mm-hmm. how do you define that? Because that's what you're describing. So
that entitlement is believing you have a right to something. The belief that you are deserving of privileges or special treatment.
Okay, special treatment. Okay.
That you just deserve it for you, being you.
Right.
No work, not earning it, not doing work to get it, that it should just happen.
Mm-hmm. And so how does this affect dynamics in a workplace when you have people that you work with that feel entitled all the time?
Oh, I can tell you firsthand.
I have been in those situations, so go ahead.
Well, you know, it's a frustrating thing in any place when you're dealing with someone who, because they aren't doing their part.
Right.
They aren't working for where they have. They just should have it because I'm amazing. And it is frustrating because life doesn't work that way. You work hard, you get rewarded for your work. You know,
right.
You save your money, you do the thing. You have to pay the cost to get a certain level. And people who are entitled just want to walk in and have that 100 level because I breathe.
Right. Or I'm cute.
Or
I was born in this family or live on this side of the tracks or whatever the case may be. So it's the opposite of working hard to accomplish something, right?
Absolutely.
And so that entitlement thing, it means that everything revolves around me, right? So that's why people feel that they're right so often, because they're entitled to get all the attention and all the acclaim and all that.
Right, and so what happens when we're entitled is we do believe the world revolves around us, and we think our needs are the only priority, and no one else's needs are important.
Okay.
So it's that all about me and not anything about you.
Right.
That's not reality.
No, it's
at
not.
At all.
It's not reality.
Well, it can be reality. It's not a healthy reality, and you're going to find yourselves lonely at the end of the road. These become the adults. I can tell you I work with a lot of professionals straight from college, and they walk in and on their interviews, they are expecting, you know, senior management position straight from college with zero work experience. And I tell them, that's not the reality of our field. You got to pay your dues in our field. And, you know, there's thousands of hours of working under supervision even after your degree to get your license.
Exactly.
And they don't want to do that.
Have they been taught in college they're going to walk right into upper management?
No, but they have that entitled
thought.
It's got
that thought.
And,
yeah.
You know, and they don't think they should have to do anything for themselves. Other people, well, somebody didn't tell me that was going to be the, why didn't you read, like, it's on the Florida website of how you get licensed. Like, this is not a secret.
Right.
But all of a sudden it's like, well, or they expect you just to do things. Well, why didn't you fill out my application for, you know,
right.
to the state of Florida for my medical license? Well, it's your application. But that's what I'm saying.
So not taking ownership
no
and responsibility.
Ownership.
So that's the word I hear you're saying, that there is this whole group of people in our lives that have to be right, that don't want to take the responsibility to grow into an area of
wherever they're trying
knowledge
to go,
or
right.
whatever.
You know,
they don't
want
to grow into that.
We pay the price to get where we want to go.
Right, sure.
It's sacrifice.
Right.
You know, we sacrifice time, energy, effort, whatever, finances, whatever we're sacrificing. That's how we get things in life.
Right.
And so the people who believe they're entitled, there is no work, there is no sacrifice, there is no earning it.
Right.
And it's a very frustrating place to be. when you're working with someone like this or dealing with someone like this in any capacity.
Right.
Because it's all about them.
Right. And this is what a lot of employers are seeing in younger people in these days, isn't it?
Absolutely, it yeah. is. And, yeah. you know, and because there's no responsibility, I come to work when I feel like it. I can call off when I have something better to do. I'm not thinking about how it's impacting other people.
Right. Yeah.
I can go home early if that's what I choose to do. And my paycheck should just always be the same.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, it goes back to how they were brought up, don't you think?
Right. And when we're brought up to put our kids in the center, we're doing them such a disservice because life is not, this world is not putting your child in the center of it.
Right. Exactly. So there's got to be fundamentals when you have young children where they're taught to share, where they're mm-hmm. taught that.
They hear the word no.
Right.
They have limits. No. They have boundaries. Right. They have to learn to cope with that.
Yep. Yep.
They have to learn how to earn things that they want.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I know last Christmas when we were doing one of our Christmas shows, I had read that article about you should get your kids everything they want for Christmas because they shouldn't feel disappointed on a holiday.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, that's what feeds entitlement right
there.
That's
right, right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And because the world is not like that,
mm-mm.
workplaces are not like that.
Relationships
are not like that. So when a child grows up with that mindset, then inside they're broken in a lot of ways, or they're very, very, so we've got to do some inner work. Okay. So this, a common mistake that goes right along with this mm-hmm. topic tonight
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of times people are in relationships with people like this, or they know people like this in the workplace or whatever. And they realize there's something drastically wrong. And let's say they go to marriage counseling. Okay, and they're advised. This person is advised. Okay, we need to dig deep here and find out what makes you feel that it's always your way or the highway type mm-hmm. thing, or this controlling. I think we live in a society right now where people don't want to do inner work.
I agree with you, and that is a huge life.
You
want to
define inner work, because some people may go, "What is inner work?" But it is it's very important.
And then, you know, it has to have the 4-letter word work attached to it.
Yeah.
So I want to highlight that because that's the key. Inner work is the process of deliberately changing yourself to become.
Okay.
The person you know you can be. It's cultivating your own life.
So it's deliberate behavior.
Deliberate behavior.
Okay, so that can't happen if you don't start with realizing that my behavior causes all these problems in my work job or in my home or whatever. There's got to be a realization that there's fault here, right?
Sure.
Because when that person
Absolutely.
Maintains that they're always right, how can they ever see that they need to change?
And that's hard to do if you think you're always right. And so it's going to take you realizing if you're the person who has to be right, you need to be hearing that what you're doing is hurting those around you, and you need to care about them enough to not want to keep hurting people.
That's exactly right.
You know, and so it becomes, I have to want to have people in my life that are great people and that, you know, we have healthy relationships. So it starts at wanting and needing to be healthy.
And to be willing to look at with a microscope
yes.
or look at with help from counseling or whatever yes. the case may be, that there's better ways of interacting, better ways of thinking,
mm-hmm.
Where the life doesn't totally revolve around you, right?
Oh, absolutely. I know I use the phrase a lot at work when people have different ideas, and I'm like, it's not wrong, it's different.
It's different, yeah.
And it's okay to be different.
Yeah.
We are all different, and
yeah.
we all have different perspectives and take things differently, and that can be really great in a workplace environment when you're problem solving.
Right.
Because you have lots of different views to solve a problem.
Right.
But when somebody's stuck in that having to be right, they're not willing to accept other perspectives, and they're missing better ways to solve their problems. So look at your problems. If you're feeling pain in your life and you have a lot of problems, like, that's your flag that I need to do some inner work.
It's all about team playing, don't
mm-hmm.
you think? Because, you know, just take sports, for instance,
okay?
So there's like the game of tennis where it can be singles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're on your own right there, but you got a coach probably telling you what. And there's so many sports, though, that are team like basketball. I remember when my kids were young and they all played basketball, young age, growing up. And sometimes there was a ball hog.
Oh, yes.
Right? Your boys played sports. So there was a ball hog. Never would throw the ball to anybody else to shoot, right? Mm-hmm. But this is a metaphor for life now with a lot of people in their lives that they are almost like a ball hog in their relationship or their marriage or their...
You are if you think you have to be right all the time.
Right.
And, you know, if you think your needs are the only ones that are important, you're a big ball hog. And people don't like a ball hog.
No.
You know, they don't want to be around that.
For some of you that didn't understand what we just said, ball hog, that's somebody, especially in basketball, when our kids were little, that would, once they had the basketball, they would dribble, they would do it, they would shoot, whatever, but they would never throw it to other people. Even if somebody was open, they didn't throw it to them. That's a ball hog.
Right. They're the eye on the team. They think it's all about me and what I'm doing. Right. And there's so many of us that are doing that. And we need to stop and take that time. I want to do the inner work. I need to stop to live the best life I can live.
But that's Go Yard. That's what this show is all about. It's all about if baseball players went into a game and thought, you know, I'm the only one that should bat the whole game. Just me. So I'll hit it and I'll see what happens and I'll come back up to the plate and I'll hit it again.
It's impossible to play the game.
You can't play the game.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it takes a team and it takes, okay, that guy got on second. Now that guy comes up and hits the guy in. So it's a teamwork event. Mm-hmm. And we chose the name here because it means, Go Yard means hitting a home run in life. Yeah, that's an individual thing, but you can have a solo home run, or you can have the bases loaded and have a grand slam home run, right? Mm-hmm. Where you score four runs, not one.
Absolutely.
Because there are three people on base, so with yours, it's four runs. And so, I mean, it's a great metaphor, Dr. Angel, for the concluding this series, in my opinion. Because when we play life as a team, we are better.
We're created to play it as a team because a team means relationships.
It does.
Our team are our tribe, our people that we connect with.
Our crew. Our gang.
Whatever you want to call them. That's your team, though.
It's your team. Your family.
Whoever is in your life, the people you trust, you love, you care about, you value, that's your team.
Right.
And your team is full of many people with different talents, different gifts, and we have to trust them with their talents and gifts, and they need to trust us, and I need to, you know, support them, and that's how we do this thing called life and do it well.
Right, right.
And so when we are not playing as a team, we're hurting. We're hurting ourselves because we need connections. We need healthy ones.
We do.
That's how we learn and grow.
Let me ask you how you would feel if I called you on a Thursday afternoon and said, you know what, you just do the show by yourself tonight.
Oh my gosh, I'd be mortified.
Why?
Because it's about the team. I mean, you bring so much to this show that I'm missing.
Well, we bounce off of each other, right? And so often we leave the show and we go, wow, that came together really well. And golly, who knew, you know? Because we're just ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have kind of a general outline where we're going. But really, we're just talking as friends because we've been friends for years. So we can bounce off of each other all these ideas, correct?
Absolutely.
That's how life should be.
Yes.
You would not like it if I called you and said, I'm just staying home tonight. You have a good show.
No, I would not.
Right?
Right.
It did happen. You did that to me on our first anniversary.
You are never going to... And I didn't call you. I was stuck in traffic.
You were stuck in a bad wreck on... Not you were in the wreck, but it was our first anniversary show.
Yeah.
And you were stuck and you were like 30 minutes... You came in like for the last 20 minutes of the show, right?
Yes.
That was hard.
I can only imagine, and I felt really bad.
I will never let you forget it.
I know you won't.
I know.
And that's okay.
But, you know, it was beyond your control. So, I forgive you, but I won't let you forget it.
No, and I'll tell you what, I leave an hour and a half before radio every Thursday to make sure that
because
never
you never know with
again.
Our traffic in Tampa Bay. But I'm only using that as a silly example of the fact that we need each other.
We do.
You know? We need each other.
We were not created to do life alone.
We were created
to connect. And when we connect with other people...
We do better.
We do. Yes. It changes our brains as we connect. And it helps us...
We need each other because we have things that we can share, stories, life, relationships. And when we're involved, I'm coming back to this. I'm going to preach this. When we are involved with the person who is always right and it puts us down and we have no voice in that relationship, something is drastically wrong with that relationship.
100%. 100%.
You can agree with me 100%.
And that's rare.
That is rare. You usually argue with me, Dr. Angel.
That's very rare. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, absolutely. Something is very wrong because a relationship has to value both parts.
It has to
be a true relationship.
Yeah. And you should have the freedom, the honesty to say, gosh, when you said that, that made me feel really bad, or that hurt me, or I know you didn't, maybe you didn't mean it that way, but you got to have that freedom. But my experience as a pastor and counseling a lot of people through the years is that when I see this type of thing in a counseling situation, the person that is never right, quote unquote, is so intimidated into silence.
Well, and they're beat down.
They're beat down.
Because to be for the person who's right, it's, you know, it's squashing the other person constantly. And remember, we talked about people who want have to be right usually have a very vivacious, outgoing, strong personality.
They do.
And it can be very intimidating. Yeah. And, you know, and some people are just natural born arguers. I'm just going to go. There are just some people. That's why they're attorneys.
Yeah.
They're just natural. They're the kind of people who can argue. And then there's some people who just don't like conflict.
Right.
And so they're going to just step back to the conflict. And so what we see are these people who need to be right usually paired up with someone who doesn't like conflict.
And it becomes a breeding ground for unhappiness.
And it's an unbalanced relationship. Very unhappy, very non-connected, and it's not growing.
So, Common Mistakes People Make in Life, Part 5, says this. If you are involved in that kind of a marriage, relationship, work scenario, whatever, you got to start thinking differently than what you've been thinking. You got to work on yourself. If that person does not want to go to counseling, that person doesn't want to work on their inner stuff. You got to take care of you.
Absolutely, you do. And each person is responsible for taking care of himself or herself. And that's really important. We can look at the other and think they're the whole blame to why we're feeling miserable. But at the end of the day, we're there and we're doing this with them, and we have a part in that.
Right.
And we have to acknowledge that.
Well, so if we put up with this and we just continue to be miserable alone, cry ourselves to sleep, quote unquote, not literally maybe, but...
A lot of people do, literally, too.
Maybe, and yeah. Or go complain to 59 of your closest friends about what's going on at home. There's got to be change.
Has to be change. And that change starts with, you know, we've done the man in the mirror, but it really starts with me. It starts with who I am and what work I need to do inside of myself. You know, if we fail to do that in our work, we are not going to grow. Our inner work keeps us, you know, helps us become strong and wise and courageous and competent. It makes us less reactive, healthy.
So we got to take those big leaps. And usually you need help from someone.
A lot of times we need help.
I think a lot of times a counselor you trust or whatever, you need help.
You know, it can be professional a lot of times, but, you know, if you have an honest friend that's
really willing to be honest with you,
you can grow through that.
Yeah.
If you can accept their honesty. A lot of people have a hard time with that.
A lot of people have a hard time accepting
their
honesty.
In fact, they made a whole TV show about this. Somebody was telling me about this at work today, where they'd have best friends where they would write these honest letters to each other.
Oh, wow.
About their lives. And I'm like, well, how best friend were they if they couldn't have said that to each other throughout the years? Like, that's sad to me.
Right.
And the other person was mortified by what their best friend thought about their life, you know. But if we're really friends with someone, we're going to be honest.
Why is that important?
Oh, truth is the foundation to a relationship.
Truth is the foundation of everything.
Yes, it is. For us.
Because when we have a relationship based on lies, based on just giving in and going along with something, okay, honey, sure, that's fine, we'll do it your way. And on the inside, you're seething or you're bitter or you're like, ugh, he won again, or she's always, as always, goes her way.
Mm-hmm.
That is taking its toll on the inside of us. I can't stress that enough. Medically, we talk about that on the show. It causes, there's a direct correlation between cancer and bitterness and resentment. Am I correct?
You're 100% correct. Man, you were on a roll. on a roll tonight.
I am on a roll tonight.
You really are.
You know why? Because I've lived this.
Yeah. You know, me too. Me too.
I have, and I don't want to talk about that. But I will say that when you've been the person in the relationship with the person who was always right, it does something to you.
Sure does.
And you have to get to the point you get your courage to change that. Mm-hmm. And so, I've been that person.
So would you say you are stronger today than you were
gosh,
then?
Gosh, am I?
I would say you are.
Yeah, you never knew me like that.
Mm-mm.
I was pretty young. So, I mean.
So what, you grew.
I grew.
And now you're on the other end and can help other people getting from coming through that.
And that's why we're doing the show.
Absolutely.
But also, I'm just getting ready to have my 12th grandchild, okay? So I have this commitment to my children and my grandchildren. Yeah, that is exciting.
It sure
I know.
Is.
I know. Number 12 is 6 weeks away or 5 weeks away. And that's pretty exciting. And we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. But we do know one thing. It'll be something Mac.
We also know something else.
What's that?
Somebody's been busy.
That's
a lot
right.
of busy.
Yeah, a lot of busy. That's right. But hey,
12?
You know, 12. Yeah, number 12 coming up.
Wow.
But you know what? It's so cool because my oldest grandson, he's 21. He called the other night, and it's so nice when they reach out instead of me, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, I said, what are you calling me, Chase? And he said, I'm calling to see how my grandmother is. Now, he doesn't call me grandmother. He calls me Nana. But he was just being very formal. And I mm-hmm. said, okay, let's talk, you know? So, I mean, it's communication. It is trying to instill in our descendants mm-hmm. how important it is to not give in to people who are always right. It's not going to make you happy.
It's not. And a lot of people think that if I just, you know, sit down and ignore it, it'll get better. And it's
not
going to.
It doesn't get better.
It gets worse.
No, it doesn't get better without you doing something about it.
Right. It gets worse when we ignore it. It's not going to get better on its own. These are issues that need deliberate changing.
Deliberate action. And deliberate action is hard for a lot of people. They'd rather stumble back up into getting help than mm-hmm. to really get aggressive and say, I'm getting help.
You know, especially when it comes to, like, emotional things.
Oh, yeah.
Or mental health. It's like the stigma. Like, we have no problem getting a cold and going to the doctor and getting an antibiotic. No one feels shame saying, oh, I'm taking an antibiotic. But for some reason, a lot of people feel the shame about saying, I'm going to a therapist so I can, you know, have a happier life or get through some stuff. It's okay.
And there may be some listeners tonight that realize, whoa, okay, you're hitting some nerves here in my life. Get some help. If
Absolutely.
You can't work on it by yourself, get some help.
If what you are experiencing in life is not making you feel satisfied, that's a sign that
it's
you need to look inward and do your part.
Right.
You know, I put a quote in here from Ralph Waldo Emerson.
I love that quote.
I used it in my book. That's where I...
I love that.
What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us.
Within us.
It's within us.
It's where it all is.
We have to do that inner work.
And you know what? What you are on the inside comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You can try your best to hide it. Mm-hmm. You can get involved with Mr. Charming and think that your life is going to be amazing. And then the guards come down and then you begin to see things, mm-hmm. right? And then it's up to you to decide, okay, am I just going to give in to all this? Or am I going to actually say, well, wait a minute, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, and the healthier you are, the healthier you know, the better you'll be able to clear. You'll be able to see
That's
those
right.
warning signs in your life and stop the pain before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can save yourself pain,
right?
If you do this inner work,
right?
So this inner work, I think, is like super vital, and that's one
it's
of the reasons why
I
wanted
to close on in the series. So talk about that, doctor,
because you know it's really about if you have pains from your childhood, work through them. You know, I saw a movie this week that came out, and his whole problem, he had an alcohol problem in his adulthood, but it was all stemmed from him not dealing with what happened in his childhood. And,
right.
and it affected his kids and his wife and all kinds of people's 30, 40 years after the fact.
That's what it does.
The quicker we can get things and get
the younger you are when you start dealing on your stuff,
the less trouble it's causing us and pain it's causing
Absolutely.
Us and our family and the people around us. And so we just need to take responsibility. I don't care whose fault things are. Take the responsibility to say, I want to live Go Yard.
Right.
I need to do the work. I'm going to be deliberately becoming the best person I can be.
That's what this show's all about. That's why we do this week after week. We're in our fifth year. We had our four-year anniversary in September. Hard to believe. And we do it because we believe in getting these truths out on the airwaves. And these shows are on podcast here at tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you'll find a lot of them. And our webmaster just got all of them caught up this week on our website. So they have titles on our website. So go to goyard2014.org and please like it. And we just had our website totally redone in the last two or three weeks by Megan Kramer.
And it looks amazing.
It is amazing. Shout out to Meg. And what a great job. Goyard 2014, because that's the year we began, .org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. Goyard2014.org. Go there and check it out. Like it. There's a place you can have a comment. Put a comment in. Maybe if you'd like to have us do a show on a particular title or a particular situation, send us your comments. Also, let me throw our email address at you, goyard2014@gmail.com. See a theme there? goyard2014@gmail.com. Dr. Angel, sum it up.
Summing it up, you know, a lot of us are going through life and we are feeling the pains of this life. We are not happy. We're not satisfied. We're hurting. And there are things we can do to help protect ourselves and to help us stop that hurting. And we need to, let's start taking some ownership of our lives.
Right.
And make different choices.
If we keep doing
the same thing, we're going to keep feeling the same hurts. And so enough is enough. Today, you need to stand up and say, I've had enough. I'm taking back my power.
Yes.
And I am choosing today to do the work I need to do to have that go-yard life.
Absolutely. And this was number 5 in this series. Last week was a rerun, but the others are all there on podcast. You need to go back to the first week that we did this series. Catch it. It is actually, I can tell you, it was September 27th was the first show in this series. So look for that on tantalknetwork.com podcast and listen to it and follow them up and take notes and learn from it. And we're going to start a new series next week that you have no idea what it is, and neither do I.
It'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise, and it always is, and we never know. But we love doing these shows. We want to hear from you. We're going to do a Q&A show soon, so send your questions to goyard2014@gmail.com, and we'll do one of those rather soon.
Yes.
And anything else you want to say?
You know, I just really, I'm hoping our listeners out there really said, you know what, I'm in that situation, or I'm with that, or I'm doing that, and I do want to do it different.
Right.
I do.
And we're hoping to do some seminars and some web, some little, like, workshop
things. Mini conferences,
yeah. Mini conferences in the new year.
Yes.
So
big changes coming. Two
books coming out. We're actually looking for a space to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of really growing here. And
lots of good things to come.
So in the new year, we'll have two new books out. One from you, one from me. This is pretty cool. We're excited. And this is always a wonderful time with you, Dr. Angel, because the interaction is amazing. So this was part 5 of Common Mistakes People Make in Life, and we will next week start a brand new series. And who are you anyway?
This is Dr. Angel.
Oh yeah, and I'm Mama Mac, and that's Pete the Engineer.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Happy Thursday.
All right, see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Come and take me to the river.